Can Republicans find the votes to pass their latest Obamacare repeal and replace bill through the Senate? That's the question today as the Graham-Cassidy bill gets its first hearing in the Senate Finance Committee. Joining us now is Julie Rovner, Chief Washington Correspondent for Kaiser Health News. Hi, Julie.
Hi, Jeremy.
And on Friday, Senator McCain announced his opposition to the bill, and it sounded like that was it for Graham-Cassidy, but it sounds like there's been a lot of wheeling and dealing since then.
That's right. There are 52 Republicans in the Senate. They can afford to lose two and then have Vice President Mike Pence break the tie. So McCain seems to be a definite no. Rand Paul of Kentucky seems to be a definite no. But everybody else is still sort of in play. So they're still trying to push forward, hoping they can get every other Republican in the Senate to vote for this and thus pass it.
When you say Rand Paul looks like a definite no, I've seen some reporting over the weekend that he may be won over if they change some things about the bill.
Well, they did change some things about the bill, and Rand Paul's spokesman said this morning that he's still a no. You know, you never know who's in play. I think we're pretty confident that McCain will stay a no, but we're also pretty confident that Susan Collins, who actually hasn't said yet, will be a no. So, I mean, it is teetering on the brink, but yes, everybody is still at least allegedly in play.
And this vote will happen when, if it does?
Well, if it does, what Senator McConnell has said all along is this vote will happen when they have 50 votes. I mean, that's literally the truth. As someone said, you know, the old line is when you have the votes, you vote. When you don't have the votes, you talk. But this is a complicated procedure they're using. And there's actually no talking time left on this bill. If they were to bring it to the floor, the first thing they would do is vote.
Now, let's talk about what's in the bill. Remind us first what it would do on the issue of Medicaid.
Well, it does two things to Medicaid. First of all, it rolls back the Medicaid expansion that was in the Affordable Care Act, and it takes that and lumps it in with all the other money in the Affordable Care Act and makes this big block grant to the states. But the bigger issue with Medicaid is that it would cap the Medicaid program. This was not something that was part of the ACA. This is something Republicans have wanted to do since the 1980s. They want to limit what the federal government spends on the Medicaid program, and this would be an enormous transfer to the states of responsibility to pay for low-income people's health care.
The other issue that has gotten a lot of controversy is what this bill would do to people with pre-existing conditions. Susan Collins of Maine says she's concerned with the impact on costs and the erosion of protections for people with pre-existing conditions. But yesterday on ABC's This Week, Senator Bill Cassidy, one of the sponsors of the bill, said that Collins is not correct and noted that President Trump said he won't sign a bill which doesn't protect those with pre-existing conditions. Let's listen.
I'm a physician who worked in a public hospital for 25 years caring for those with pre-existing conditions. Our language says that if a state wishes to do something different, as they do something different, they must first establish that those with pre-existing conditions have access to affordable and adequate coverage.
Julie, what's the truth about this bill when it comes to pre-existing conditions?
Well, the truth about this bill seems to be, according to several analysts, that it is internally inconsistent, that Senator Cassidy is right, and they've actually strengthened that language in the new version, that it says the state shall ensure that people with pre-existing conditions have access to affordable and adequate coverage. They don't define what that is. The rest of the bill makes it very easy, in fact, easier for states to basically load up on people with pre-existing conditions, charge them more, have them not cover the things that they have. So it's hard to know, you know, which would win out, because both of those things are definitely in the bill. It would both make it much easier for states and insurers to discriminate against people with pre-existing conditions, and yet there is that one line that says you would have to do something for those people.
Do we know at this point how many people would lose coverage under this bill?
We do not. We've seen estimates from – we've not heard from the Congressional Budget Office, but outside estimates based on earlier analyses by the Congressional Budget Office of similar provisions say that it could be as much as 32 million people by 2027, because this block grant I referred to earlier actually ends. It only lasts for 6 years, and then all of that money goes away.
And if they are able to get the votes to pass this through the Senate – it would still have a long road ahead, right, to getting to the point where they actually repeal and replace Obamacare.
Well, it wouldn't. It would go to the House, and the House would have a take-it-or-leave-it proposition, because after September 30th, it can't come back to the Senate without needing 60 votes. So the House would either vote it up or vote it down. The House Speaker Paul Ryan has said they would vote it up. That's hard to predict. Everybody's still looking at the Senate.
And we will find out soon if the Senate is able to get the votes it needs by this week or, by the end of the month.
by the end of the month.
Julie Rovner, Kaiser Health News Chief Washington Correspondent. Julie, thank you.
Always.